This is the I Can Do It Hour with your host, Diane Ray.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today and joining me for the show. I've got a great guest. I'm glad she was able to come back because the first time we had some weird technical things going on, as sometimes happens when you do a live show. So I wanted to make sure that she got a chance to come back and talk about her book and to talk about her work with all of the Hay House listeners today. So I want to welcome her back. Karen Noe is a psychic medium, and she's the author of The Rainbow Follows the Storm, her earlier book, and her new book that we're going to talk about today, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. And she's also the founder of the Angel Quest Center in New Jersey. She's a practicing medium. She teaches classes and gives readings as well. So, Karen, welcome back to the show. I'm glad you could join me today.
Hi, Diane. How are you today?
I'm very good. And I want to make sure I said your name right. Is it Noe or Noe?
It's Noe, like Joey Noe.
Okay, very good. I'm glad I was able to straighten it out. So, Karen Noe, I'm glad you could come back. Now, just to reintroduce you a little bit to the listeners, just tell me a little bit about your background and your work as a practicing medium and what led you to write the book.
Oh, sure. Okay. People ask me all the time if I was always able to connect with angels and deceased loved ones, and the answer is yes and no. When I was psychic when I was younger, I would have dreams that would come true before they happened, things like that. And my father used to bring me to the racetrack, and I'd pick the winning horses. And, you know, that was what it was like when I was growing up. And about 15 years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life, and I literally sat at the edge of my bed, and I asked God for a sign if I'd be okay. Little did I know, like from that point on, my whole life was going to change. I saw a light coming towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it came towards me. And it came inside of me. And I had the most peaceful feeling I have ever felt. And I never felt that way again after that time. At that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina. And for the listeners who are Italian, it means light, little light, beautiful little light. And since that time, it started slowly. I started feeling the angels, and I felt people who've crossed over. And at first, I didn't want to share the information with people because I was afraid. I didn't know if it was real. But the more I shared it, you know, the more it really meant things to the people I was conveying it to. And it was always very specific, names, details, things that only the other person would know. And now I have my own center. It's called the Angel Quest Center. And I'm actually not even taking any more clients because I'm booked a couple of years ahead of time.
Oh, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to have people reach out to get in touch with you, but you're booked way in advance. And just also to clarify for the listeners, too, that today you're not going to really be doing readings over the phone.
Yes, that's right, because sometimes I like to meditate before and have them in my office, even on the phone, but it's I'd like to talk more about the book today, if possible.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
And I just want to make sure for the people that are calling in so that you can ask questions about the book or any of the other topics that we bring up today. So it's good to put that out there because people are really going to be interested in the subject. So now, how old were you when that event happened that you just described?
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out. I was maybe about 40.
Oh, wow. So it actually came to you later in life.
Later on in life. Yeah. You know, I would have dreams that would, you know, with my relatives and the people who've crossed beforehand, but not to the extent that it happens now.
That's so interesting because a lot of people describe growing up, you know, having those experiences as children and being afraid to say anything about it. And this happened to you later on. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, when I was younger, I'll never forget this one incident. I was... my sister and I shared a room, and I dreamt of my deceased. She was my aunt at the a distant aunt, but she passed, and she came to me in a dream, and she said, "Please warn Johnny; he's going to get burnt." And I woke up. I was so afraid, you know. It was so real. And when I woke up, my sister woke up at the same time. She had the same dream. And what had happened was, about a month later, her grandson Johnny did burn himself with boiling water. But we didn't know. We were children. We didn't know, you know, to warn him. Anyway, he wouldn't have, you know, believed us anyway. But, that's what happened when I was younger. But now, you know, now it's a lot different. And I see the impact it makes on people. You know, their lives are changed. This is something I don't think or believe is something I know without a doubt, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and after we leave here, our soul continues. It's not something I believe, it's something I know. And I wish everyone would know this too.
Right, and you know that unquestionably,
yes,
unequivocally,
yes.
I guess.
Unequivocally.
Well, I wanted to talk about the book, of course, because it's really kind of a guidebook in a way through your experience of how people can, you know, bring more peace into their life by making amends with different people that they've, you know, come in contact to in their lifetime. Now, what I thought was interesting in the beginning of the book, you say that you often hear regrets from people who have passed over about things that they could have done differently.
Yes.
So I thought that was interesting because I always wonder if when people go to the other side and they make that transition, are they carrying, they must be carrying some kind of energy or of feelings that they had in their lifetime. Is that true?
Well,
or?
Yes. Well, what happens is we're able to see a bigger perspective, a bigger picture. We're able to see how we have affected people through each person's eyes. Whereas when we're here on Earth, we're just very self-centered. We're not really conscious of how we are affecting them to the extent that we're, if we're hurting them or even if we're doing a great job with them. When we're on the other side, it's almost like we're seeing through God's eyes. You know, we're very much at peace. It's not that we're not at peace. Let me say that. We're very much at peace, but we are able to see. A lot of times people come through and say they should have or could have done things differently, and now it's too late. As well as, the people who come to my office, the living loved ones, they say they should have done something different. You know, they should have told them how much they love them. They should have spent more time with them, and they feel it's too late.
Right. So, and really the big part of the book, the point that you want to make is that you want people to not have to experience this, this pain after the fact.
Exactly.
You know, that there are steps that you can take
Absolutely. To
kind of right the wrongs while we're still here on Earth and we can make a difference.
Yes. Well, when I heard this time and time again with all the readings that I had done, I said, well, I have to do something about this. I should, tell people, first of all, after we leave here, we're going to see the bigger picture and how we have affected each person. Why do we have to wait? Why can't we make amends now? Why can't we try in our day-to-day, when we see different people in our lives, can we try to see their point of view, try to see through their eyes how we're affecting them? And especially if we're going through a rough time in our life, we're so self-centered. We're centered on, poor me. We'll try to see how the other person is affected at the same time. Sometimes it's very hard. But so what I did was I came up with an idea that we could write different types of letters to our loved ones, different types of letters. There will be letters of forgiveness if we need to forgive them or if they need to forgive us, letters of appreciation, just letters of love, telling them how much you love them so there would be no regrets afterwards, letters to ourselves, and letters to our deceased loved ones.
And this letter writing exercise is something that you did. So you're writing from your own experience, and you found this to be really helpful and healing in your own life.
Oh, my gosh, yes. At the time I was writing the book, I participated in an experiment with a group of women. And I had been going through a divorce myself, and I was so wrapped up in what was going on. And I tried to the best of my ability, I always do, try not to hurt anybody. But let's face it, when you're going through a divorce, you're going to hurt people. And what I did is I sat down and wrote letters to each of my children and my ex-husband as well. And I wrote how much I loved them and appreciated them. It was a letter of love to all of them. And trying to take responsibility and saying how I'm so sorry, I never meant to hurt them. And, I tried to look at it from a point of view, after I leave here, is there anything that I would see that I'm not telling them or that they are seeing how I have affected them? So it was hard. It was hard. And I said I did the best that I could. I never meant to hurt them. But let me tell you, the results were life-changing.
Wow.
My children, at the time we were always close, but we got closer, even more so, and it's all, I talk about that in the book. But my daughter even took it a step further, and this was the best. A few months later, after, this was Valentine's Day that I gave them the letters, and then on my birthday, 2 months later, I received a gift from my daughter. She took the same concept that I had done with the letters, and she gave me a DVD, and she interviewed all three children, my mother, my future daughter-in-law, as well as my animals, believe it or not. She put little subscripts underneath the animals. And they were telling me how much they loved me and appreciated me. And let me tell you, I look at it time and time again. And my mom has since died in January. And
that's got to be a priceless, priceless thing now.
Oh, my gosh. And I want to tell you, this is very important, too. As I said, my mom crossed in January. I had written her a letter of appreciation a couple of years ago, and it was a very good relationship. I had a very good relationship with my mom. It was just basically a letter of love and how much I loved her and, you know, different things that she did for me over the years. A few regrets. There were regrets, you know, that I should have spent more time with her, things like that. But, this is going to be hard. But on the day before she died, she was in a coma. And she was at home, and hospice was there. And I looked in her bedroom, and on the desk was a letter, the letter I had written to her. So I took the letter, and I, you know, sat down next to her in her bed, and I read her the letter. And whereas she was very unresponsive before, she was in a coma, she heard what I had read to her with the letter. And those were my last words to her before she died. So I have no words left unspoken. You know, I said everything I needed to say, and it was all perfectly written in that letter, and she loved it very much, as you could see.
That's so perfect.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk a little bit later about, maintaining that communication where mm-hmm. we can have that feeling of peace that nothing is left unsaid through the letter writing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring that up. But I did want to ask first about the life review process, which is kind of what you're going through with this letter writing exercise. Now, first, I wanted you to describe from your experience as a medium the life review process that the spirit goes through, what we go through at that time of transition.
Okay, so we go through a tunnel for the most part. Most of us do. And there are a lot of good books out on it about near-death experiences. Danny and Brinkley had a book quite a while back. It was called Saved by the Light. He was actually struck by lightning and clinically dead over 40 minutes, and he saw his life flash before him. He was a bully, and he saw how he had affected each person and how he had hurt people. So what we do is we leave the body, the soul continues, and the same personality as whatever we were before. If we were quiet, we're still quiet. If we were loud, still loud. But we're able to see everything from a bigger perspective, the bigger picture. We're able to see how we have affected each person through their eyes, as if it's our own eyes. We're able to feel everything.
So from the people that you've, you know, talked to in your practice, you know, in your work as a medium, is it like, you know, we see our life flash before us, or it's different than that? We feel what those other people are feeling as well?
Everything all at once. It's hard to explain, but you do see your life flash before you, but you have all the feelings. It's all at once. I don't know, you know, I can't understand it myself, but that's exactly what happens.
I guess we'll know, you know, when that happens.
Yes. Right.
But, you know, from the descriptions that you've gotten from other people, I was wondering how, you know, because we always hear that saying, our life flashes before our eyes. And then I was thinking of, you know, one of my favorite movies is Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
And he goes through this process of looking at, you know, in great detail, and he feels everything that happened to him mm-hmm. as he's looking back at these different scenes of his life. So I'm thinking it's kind of like that.
It is. Yes.
Okay. So then as you write in the book, you know, what you're trying to do is kind of put us through that life review now here on Earth.
Exactly.
You know, here in our lifetime now.
Right. So mm-hmm. why do we have to wait? We should do it now.
Exactly.
And then we'll have more peaceful lives now, you know. And you know, one of the most important letters to write, though, that I didn't really talk about yet is letters to ourselves. Because we're going to see how we have affected ourselves as well. Too often we put ourselves last. I know I do.
Sure, and most women do too. I'm sure they'd agree.
Yes, and that was the hardest one for me to write. I was, you know, lots of tears, and I just, you know, you write the letter, and a very positive, loving letter, you know, how you've affected yourself and what you could have done differently, maybe. You know, maybe I should have spent more time taking a nap or dancing or whatever it is. And you write it as if you're speaking to someone else, okay? So you're right. You know, my letter was Dear Karen, and then I talked about what I was proud about in myself, you know, and things that I could have done differently. Very loving letter. You know, you talk about your proudest accomplishments, and if you're unhappy with certain things, you could state why you forgive yourself. In other words, you look at the events with a new understanding of why you did what you did. You know, you're trying to heal your relationship with yourself.
And that does have to be a tough letter to write, because you really have to ask yourself some, you know, really important questions. I mean, you have to really be honest.
Yes.
And that must be one of the keys, too, is that, you know, you can't hold anything back. You have to be honest with yourself.
Exactly. And it's very healing, I'll tell you. And I think out of all the letters, that was the hardest one for me to do, but the most healing. And then after the letter, this is very important. You have to, like, in other words, there's a part of the letter that you say, okay, I promise to, and then you say what you wish you could do for yourself more often. Then you have to do it.
Right.
So, you know, a year later, 2 years later, just continue. You know, it's an ongoing process. It's not just the time that you write the letter.
And you can do this with, you demonstrate, you know, you have examples of each letter and tips on how to do it, because that's hard for a lot of people, you know, and I think even now, you know, the practice of writing a letter is really foreign, you know, to a lot of us. We're texting, but you can email too, I'm sure.
And you don't even have to do a letter, but the reason why I was talking about letters is because you're sitting there, you're actually getting your thoughts together and, you know, changing the words, putting the exact words you need to say, and then, you know, your loved ones and yourself could look at it time and time again. But if you don't like to write a letter, you don't have to.
Right, but it is something tangible, you know, and I think sitting down and putting a pen to paper is, you know, there's a certain energy that you get from that where you wouldn't. The same thing, I guess, wouldn't be as an email or a text or something like that.
Although that's good, too.
Right. You can do either one, I guess.
Sure.
I'm talking with Karen Noe about her book, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. And we'll take a couple of calls. Actually, let's take one right now.
Sure.
Because she would like to contact an old friend. And I think this would be a good exercise. So let's go to Kim in New Jersey on line 3. Hi, Kim. Thanks for joining the show today.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Go ahead, Kim.
Show. You know, it's right about, like, writing your things and your memories down, you know. We should all write a book.
Absolutely. I think everybody has a story.
Yeah, well, you know, my mom and dad passed. If there's any messages, you can let me know while I'm asking you this question. I used to know a guy named Jim. I used to work in a supermarket 10 years ago. And he called me like 3.5 years ago. And I haven't heard from him since. Whatever happened to him?
So, well, Karen, what would you think about Kim reaching out or trying to...
Yes. Do you have his address? Do you have
contact? No. Like, he used to come in the store. I used to like him. And then, like... You know, he used to come in there a lot, but then he called me like 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
And I don't know. He hasn't called me anymore.
You
like,
know what
is
you
still
could
live
do?
In the area?
You could use the concept as we're talking about, and even though you don't have a contact address or anything, you could write a letter to him saying how much he meant to you and that you miss him. And you could sit down and just his higher self would be able to feel that, believe it or not. And chances are that he could feel you and maybe he would be able to contact you again. So I would sit down and write a letter to him.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Well, why? Did he lose my phone number?
I feel like he moved. I feel like he's not in the area anymore.
No.
So that's all. It's nothing against you. You didn't do anything wrong.
Just
trust. I think he's going to contact you soon anyway.
He has a daughter, you know, about 19.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, I mean, I don't know, you know, where did he move to?
Well, he's not in New Jersey anymore. I just feel there's a distance there. Yeah.
That's so interesting, though, Kim.
Yeah.
If you put out that energy, you know, what Karen was saying, to have him contact you, you know, it may take... a little, you know, a few days or a couple weeks or something like that. But I think if you put out that intention,
he would feel that on a subconscious level. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I believe a lot of that. You know, I read a lot of books like that.
I'll give you my email address. It's angelquestevents@gmail.com. Let me know what happens.
AngelQuest.com?
AngelQuestEvents@gmail.com.
AngelQuestEvents.
One word.
All together.
AngelQuestEvent, okay.
Mm-hmm. At Gmail.
Okay.
And let Karen know what happens, Kim.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling.
And thank you, okay?
You're very welcome.
Okay. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too. And here's an interesting question, and this is something that you address in the book. So I'd like to bring Joy on.
Sure.
And she's on line one, also from New Jersey. But you're in New Jersey, aren't you, Karen?
Yes,
so what's up with that? We're getting all these New Jersey callers.
My local.
Your local people are coming out, which is great.
Yes.
We love that. So, Joy, thanks for calling us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you had an interesting question, and Karen, you do address this in the book.
Okay.
After a loved one passes over, did they try to contact us and we're just not aware?
Oh, my gosh. That is such a good question. Absolutely. You know, they want us to know that they're okay as much as we want to know they're okay. So I would say to look for signs, first of all. You know, a lot of times they like to give us signs. They, for example, they're able to use their energy to come inside of an animal, a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, to let us know they're, you know, around us. It wouldn't be any bird, ladybug, butterfly. It would be something that stands out, whether it lands on you or pecks at your window or, you know, something like that. You will not have to look for it. It will look for you. They love to leave feathers. I have almost a box full of feathers since my mom has crossed. You know, they like to leave something that you know they're around, coins. You know, sometimes their favorite music comes on at the perfect time or sometimes. Now, this is the most important way to communicate with someone who's crossed. Most people do not realize this, is that we don't necessarily hear an audible voice or see an apparition of them, okay? They like to come, they speak to us telepathically, and what I mean by that is they come as thoughts. So if a thought pops in your head of your loved one, and you can't trace the originating thought. You know, if you have an originating thought that you thought of them, that something triggered a thought, that's you. But your loved one just pops in your head, something they would say or do. Okay, that's how it comes. They come telepathically because they don't have an audible voice anymore. They don't have a physical body. Okay, so that's the easiest way for them to connect. Most of us do not realize that. And last but not least, I would tell you to ask them to come into a dream to let you know they're there. And I love to share this story. I always, you know, my mom, again, I'll use that as an example. She recently crossed and, you know, she's been coming through, giving me messages, that signs of feathers and, you know, telepathically she's giving me messages. But I said, Mom, I just want to hear your voice. You know, I miss your voice. I miss your, you know, audible voice. Please let me hear it. And please come to me in a dream and wake me up. Now, if you don't ask them to wake you up, you might dream of them and then sleep the whole night and not remember it. So one day I was home for the day and I took a nap, and this was a true visitation of my mom. It was not a dream. It was real. My mom comes over the loudspeaker and she says, I have an important announcement. I have an important announcement. I am okay and I love you. And with that, the phone rang and woke me up and I remembered the dream. It was a true gift. I felt like I won the lottery.
That's incredible.
So,
now, Joy, was there someone that you were trying to initiate a contact with?
Well, actually, yes. My dad had passed away a few months ago, but I've been finding coins everywhere in the laundry, dropping out of the sheets in the washing machine on the front porch. So,
Do you have a jar? You should collect them. Put it in a jar so you know how many coins you're collecting, and you'll know how often he's around you. It's really cool.
And, coincidentally, I found in the washing machine, because my parents both passed, mm-hmm. in my washing machine, I found two dimes next to each other. And when I picked them up, they both had the same date.
Oh, I love it.
They were both 1965, which is astounding. So I'm kind of thinking he's, you know.
Absolutely.
He's contacting me, but I just wanted to
and
get the opinion of her.
Was he a very loud person?
He was a very vivacious funny guy. Yeah.
Okay. So I would look for signs that are big because he
big
was
okay.
he had a big energy. So
he
I
did.
Would say that type of thing. And ask
he
him,
did.
Just like I did with my mom. Sometimes you have to say, hey, I'm not hearing you. Come on. I want
right,
to
me know.
Yeah.
Well, we have to jump to a break real quick.
Okay.
Joy, thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back talking more with Karen Noe about her book, Through the Eyes of Another, that she released through Balboa Press. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
This is the I Can Do It Hour with your host, Diane Ray.
And we're back with my special guest today, Karen Noe, and she's published an amazing book through Balboa Press. So I hope you can check it out. The book is available now. You can get it through balboapress.com, also through amazon.com, your local bookstore, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. And Karen, we just had a great call before the break about a woman who wanted to increase her connection, you know, with someone who had passed. And you were talking about ways to look at signs and things that we might not really pay attention to. And you said that people that have passed can contact us through our animals. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Animals are the best way. They could come through in our pets. And our pets are very sensitive to their energy. Oftentimes, they're able to see things that we're not able to see, especially cats.
Yes, the mystical cats.
Yes, yes.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. So we should pay attention to what our pets' behavior, and, you know, if they're doing something a little off.
Absolutely. And I have a great story. They're able to, I just want to tell the listeners that our loved ones are not always, when I said before, they're able to come through as a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, such as that. They're not always a bird, a ladybug, or a butterfly. They're able to use their energy to come inside of the animal for a brief period of time to let us know they're there. So that's a little different. And I always love to share this story, if you don't mind.
There's, sure.
My friend Marion crossed over 2 years ago. And she was very loud. Now, when people come through, they come with the same energy as they did when they were here. So if they were quiet, they'll come through very quietly, and it's hard to hear them. If they were loud, they're still loud. And let me tell you, Marion was loud. So 2 days after her funeral, I was very sad, even though I felt her around. You know, I still miss them. I miss my mom. I miss my friends. You know, I know they're okay, but I miss their physical, you know, presence. So I'm walking down the steps to put the mail in my mailbox, and as I'm walking down, a bird comes flying towards me and screams at me, and wah, screaming, looking at me right in the eye.
But was it a big bird, like
it
a mockingbird?
Ugly. I don't know what it was. I shouldn't say ugly.
A
I
crow?
Love animals, but yeah. No, it wasn't a crow. It was brown. And it was just screaming, looking at me, and I know animals, you know, birds don't do that. So my first response was, oh, my gosh, Marion, I love you. Thank God you're, you know, thank God you're okay. I love you, Marion. My neighbors are looking at me like I've lost it. I have my cell phone in my pocket, and, you know, I call my son who's in the house because I always tell him the stories, but he never experiences them firsthand. I said, come outside, Marion's here. And he said, huh? I said, just come outside. And he came outside. He saw the whole thing. The bird followed me to the mailbox. She was still screaming at me. I put the letters in the mail, and then she flew away. 2 days later, a mutual friend of ours, Carol, calls me up and says, what the heck is Marion doing? I said, oh, no, what did she do to you? And I explained what she did to me. She said a bird flew into her kitchen. You know, she opened the sliding glass door. The bird flew in, dirtied the whole kitchen, just screaming, and then just left. And we knew it was Marion. Now, is Marion always a bird? No. But she was able to come through as an animal, and she was very loud.
Wow, that is just amazing that you were able to recognize her.
You couldn't not. I mean, usually when somebody comes through as an animal, for the most part, even those who don't understand this concept, they'll say, I bet that was my mom. I bet that was, you know, if a butterfly lands on you, often I'll hear, oh, I thought that was my mom, or I thought that was my cousin, whatever. You know, usually they find you. You wouldn't have to find them.
Right, and that we shouldn't dissuade or discount, I guess is the word, those feelings, you know, that we get. And we might think like, oh, you know, we're crazy or that's not true.
Yeah. But this is the way they're trying. They're spirits, right? So they're not going to come necessarily as an apparition or an audible voice. These are the ways they'll come. Their spirit, their energy, and that's the way they'll come.
Wow, so, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people that are listening are going to want to increase that connection, and the letter writing exercise that you describe is a really good way to do that. And, you know, when as I read that, it was interesting because I had written a letter after my father passed away in 2003 because he was, you know, Italian guy that definitely was not one for discussing his feelings, you know. So I wrote him a letter, you know, Dad, I love you, and things like that. And it was healing for me. But you're saying doing that can also open up more of a connection.
Yes. Whenever you sit down to write or even talk, you talk to them, but writing even takes more time. As you're writing to your loved ones who when they crossed, you're bringing their energy to you. And you can bet that they have read what you wrote. In my book, there was a beautiful young girl, her name is Ryan, that she wrote a letter to her. She keeps writing letters to her mom who crossed over. And this is the best part. One day, her father was in a classroom. I was giving a class on how to connect with angels and deceased loved ones, and I had never met him before. And so all of a sudden, this woman named Lori comes through, and she said to tell the gentleman, he was in the back, that she's reading the letters that Ryan wrote to her, and to keep writing. And so I told him this message, and he was just blown away, because his daughter had been writing letters to his wife, Lori, who passed. So this was confirmation that Lori had, you know, seen everything her daughter wrote to her. So that was great.
That is so great. I love that.
So,
and you have that in the book, you know, a lot of different stories that you share of the healing experiences that people have when they do these exercises.
Oh, yeah. There was one woman. Her name is Kathleen. She had been going to therapy for 3 years. And after she wrote the letters, her therapist said to her that the letters had done for her in 1 month that 3 years of therapy never came close to. And you don't have to come back anymore.
Right. You could save a lot of money.
I know. Because you really let it all out. And remember, the letters are very loving and positive. A lot of times, you know, they think when I say write a letter to your loved one or, you know, someone in your life, it's not an angry letter that you let it all out and you tell them off. No. It's a positive letter of appreciation, of forgiveness, that type of letter.
Now, this could be a difficult process, especially when you mentioned the forgiveness letter. And when you're writing about forgiveness, which I think is it's a tough concept for a lot of people. I think that personally, I think forgiveness is a process. I don't think you can just say, I forgive you, you know, some kind of horrible thing. You know, I think it's something that you have to kind of go through. And you talk about the importance of the forgiveness letter. So I just wanted to see if you could talk a little bit about that.
There's two types of forgiveness letters. One is when you want to forgive someone else, and another is if you want them to forgive you. And they're both very loving, positive letters. So when you want to write a letter to someone, when you want to forgive someone else, you want to include everything you love and appreciate about them. You don't want to attack, right? And now, this is the hard part. You try to see through their eyes on why they did what they did. None of us tries to hurt anybody intentionally. I don't care who you are. You know, we really don't. Sometimes we just don't understand. We're not aware of what we're doing. You know, there was a woman in the book who I talked about, Donna. She had a mom who was not the best, and she was angry at her whole life. And when she was never able to forgive her. But when she sat down to write the letter, she finally understood. You know, it took time to understand, trying to see from her mom's point of view why she did what she did. She saw that she was the youngest of 9 children, you know, and she didn't have a great parent herself.
Right.
And she wasn't able to show love. And this is the way she was brought up. And she didn't even try, you know, she didn't try to change because that's all she knew. You know, so sometimes it's hard, but you try to see the, you know, the bigger picture. Like, as I said, after we leave here, we're able to see the bigger picture on how we have affected everyone. So what you want to do is see the bigger picture on how you have affected that other person as well. Which is hard sometimes.
It is. It's very hard. But I think that's a great point. You know, if you're doing that forgiveness letter, you're going through that process. You know, I think a lot of us don't realize our parents' experience and that they're only working with whatever they got.
Right.
You know, in growing up, and everybody brings their own baggage to their lives.
Exactly.
You know, and then seeing your parents as people separate from your mother and father.
Right.
You know, and that's really
tough.
It is tough, mm-hmm. but I think it's really healing, you know, when you're able to look at their experience in that way.
You know, it's hard, but this is what everyone must do. You step back and see it from a bigger perspective. What is going on? And when you could do that, it changes your life.
Absolutely. And you have a lot of different exercises in the book that people can do to help them with this. And I wanted to grab another call here. This is a good one from Barbara in Palm Beach. And she's going to be writing a letter to her family and wanted a little guidance on that. So let's get her on line one. And
Hi, Barbara.
There she is. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate this.
Very good. I'm glad you could join us. So, Barbara, you've been listening to the show, and are you going to be, you're writing a letter to your family?
Yes. You know, I've been going through a lot of changes in my life. I'm a healer myself and, you know, developed a lot of things. And I'm recovering right now from an accident, and I realized through this time, you know, all the different things I could have done in my life.
Okay. Well, don't be hard on yourself. Okay, that's the first thing. Love yourself. You're just as important as everyone else, right?
Yeah. So I've been writing a letter because I'm wanting to go back home, and I just felt, you know, I've been first I released some of my anger, and then I thought, no, I don't want to put that in there. I want to put, you know, I want, because my aim with the letter is to bring forgiveness and healing for all of us. And in my letter, I'm sharing that we should all forgive each other, you know, because we all have some difficulties. And that's my aim, to bring healing. And I just, I don't know, I would appreciate some guidance.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is very important. Do you remember that old saying, it's not the snake bite that kills you, it's the venom that's left behind, right?
Uh-huh.
So do this for you, first of all. And as you do it for you, you will do it for them as well. You know, you don't even have to write, mail the letters if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But what you need to do, you know, you're trying to forgive them. Is there? There's more than one person that you need to forgive?
Well, it's my family. Yes, it's all my family.
Okay.
And then, well, mostly I want them to forgive me.
There you go. Now, that's different when you want someone to forgive you. So you're going to write a two-part letter, forgiving them, and you want them to forgive you, too. Remember that you never meant to hurt them. Now this is the most important part, though. Try to step back and see the bigger picture, the bigger perspective on how you have affected them. This is what we're going to do after we cross over. You see the bigger picture. Now try to see that. You know, how and, you know, in what way did you affect them? It's hard sometimes. Sometimes you'll say, oh, but you have to sit there and say, yeah, I had a part in it somehow. Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Be kind to yourself, too, by the way. I keep saying that. It's most important. You know, nobody ever wants to hurt anybody, as I said before. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you start off very positive. Everything you love and appreciate about the person, I talk about this in the book. I put tips on, you know, the different tips on how to write them. Remember not to attack. Okay? They're only going to be responsive if they feel safe, right, and not judged.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to conclude the letter with a positive note.
Mm-hmm.
Always do that, so that's the last thing that they'll be reading. You know, they'll take it with them. They'll probably say, why did she do this, you know? If it's real. It's a very, have you talked to them in a while?
Yes, we have. Actually, we're all in good rapport.
Okay.
And we are, and I just feel it's a step deeper because I just do feel that it needs to take place for a lot of us to heal, all of us to heal.
Yes.
And
if you take the first step.
My aim.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's my aim. And if it's okay, I have a dog who passed away. Her name is Kasha. I would like to know, I kind of abandoned her in this lifetime. I would like to know if she's okay.
Oh, absolutely. She's okay. Animals continue to survive after the body. Those are my favorite stories of all. I've had many readings where the animals come through. And yes, your animal is okay. And no judgment. They love you unconditionally as well. Okay, if you look in the book, in the back of the book, there's actually a section on animal stories.
Okay.
You know, connection in my first book as well.
And did you want to make a connection there, Barbara?
Yes.
But you shouldn't feel, she shouldn't feel any guilt, right, Karen?
Don't feel
or
any
hold
guilt
on to that.
You never meant to harm your aunt. What happened that you abandoned her?
Oh, I've gone through a lot of different phases in my life, and it was a time where I just had to let everything go, and I gave her up. It's a different home. Several
you did
times
it for the best.
Me.
Now, wait a minute. You did it for the best, right? For the good of both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes that. Okay? Animals absolutely do survive. Okay? She's okay. No
judgment. I always believe that, too. I think, I mean, anyone who thinks that animals don't have souls or spirits are crazy, I think.
Well, you know, Diane, if
you
want to
hear Hot Cheese. Have you ever seen the movie Hot Cheese? A movie that touches my soul so much.
Which one was that?
The Hot Cheese, Tale of a Dog, is a very healing movie. He's an amazing dog. It's a true story. It's called Hot Cheese. You ever guys see it? But
oh, I'll have
so
to check that out.
Absolutely.
And thanks for calling,
so
Barbara.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Okay.
And we have time maybe for another call. Let's go to Elise, and she is in Virginia, line 5. Hi, Elise. Thanks for holding, and you're on with Karen Noe today.
Hi, Karen. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm going to be visiting. I have two questions, actually. I'm going to be visiting a gravesite where a lot of family members are buried.
Mm-hmm.
Some have never met, and some who I have met, but I wasn't able to attend any of their funerals. Two of the people there are my maternal and paternal grandmother, who both came to me before I knew that they were gone before I got the phone call. They both came to me in a dream at the exact time that they passed and woke me up out of my sleep and
there
everything.
You go.
So I wanted to know, I've never really gone to funerals and everything. What should I expect? And I want to be open to any messages. And there's so much I want to know about my family, and I miss them, and I just don't know what to do.
Well, first of all, mm-hmm. It's very important. You don't have to go to funerals or go to the cemetery because guess what? They're not there. They're
right
with you. You already heard from them before.
I did.
You even got the phone call, and they let you know they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, in appointments, they come through, and they say, "Oh, don't worry." If they go to the funeral, they go to the cemetery every day. I have a gentleman who goes every single day to visit his wife.
Okay.
And when his wife comes through, she says, "Why do you do that? I'm not there. I'm with you."
Right. Okay.
So don't worry about that.
Okay.
But do continue to ask them to come to you in dreams or to give you signs, and they want you to know they're okay as much as you want to know they're okay.
Right.
So that's the most important thing.
Okay. Well, my second question is I always have these dreams, and some of them are very vivid, just as real as I'm talking to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, when I'm having these dreams with the other person and having conversations, what's happening on their side? Are they having a dream also, or?
Are they living? Are you talking about
somebody? Yes, living.
You know, chances are they are. They're having the same. If it feels very vivid, very real, chances are it might be a lucid dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably that they are aware of the same thing. You should ask them the next day.
I will do that. And because some of them come true. I mean, exactly everything that happens, it's just weird. They come true.
They come true.
The next
so they're precognitive dreams.
Okay. Precognitive.
Right. So that's good. Okay. So you could see things before.
And
they
Karen, would you recommend, speaking of dreams, that Elise, if you're not already, to keep a dream journal?
Oh,
to write it down.
I have to start keeping one. I was a little girl, my aunt who has the same thing, she told me to keep one. So I've been keeping one pretty much
leave it by
all my life.
Yes, that's good. And you leave it by the side of your bed and you write down everything. You'll be amazed.
Okay.
It is amazing how much you can remember if you keep doing it.
With the intention, yes.
Right.
Sometimes
that's so true.
You know what you do say before you go to sleep? I intend to remember my dreams.
Okay.
You know, and then you will.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Elise, thanks so much for the call.
And Elise is my mom's name, so I love
wonderful. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's
bye-bye.
So great. Yeah, dream journals, I think, are a really valuable tool. And I noticed that the more that you write it down, even if it's snippets, I think people try to remember everything, and there's so many weird things that go on, in a dream that I just try to remember at least one. If one thing stands out, I'll write it down. And I think that, as you do it more, it's like an exercise in your retention. The more that you'll remember it, it comes back to you.
Exactly. And do you ever look back at your dream journal?
I do. It's fun.
Uh-huh. Isn't it something?
I love to do that.
Ooh, yeah.
Because sometimes the stuff that you remember or, you write down, it's just crazy.
And some of it comes true or, I've had incredible dreams.
I've never had a precognitive dream of something that's come true, but I had one dream of what you were talking about where a deceased loved one had contacted me and it was my mother, and it was something so silly that we were in a bar and she was asking me about cheese, something ridiculous, like, oh, I like this kind. But it was her voice, and that's what stuck with me, like when you were talking about you really wanted to hear her voice, and I do miss that a lot.
So it was just like a conversation with her, and she just let you know she was around you, so that was good.
Right. And I'm going to work on trying to keep that connection going.
Yeah. Ask her, keep asking before you go to sleep, please come to me in a dream and wake me up. be persistent.
See, I think that's the key, is to wake you up.
Right?
Because, if you just wake up naturally, then sometimes you might forget.
Exactly. You'll sleep the whole night and won't remember it. So
that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
So you also mentioned in the book that, you know, people that are interested in maybe contacting, you know, a medium like yourself, that there are some things to look out for.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe questions to ask. So if people are interested in contacting somebody, what would you suggest?
Well, the first most important thing to do is to go to a medium who was recommended. Don't just go on the boardwalk or, you know, on the highway and it says psychic, you know. Make sure you get a recommendation. And chances are if they're booked along a, you know, period of time, that means they're really doing it. Unless someone's just starting out, you probably won't get an appointment 2 days later. You know, chances are, unless they just started out, that's a different story.
Right.
I can't say that for them. But always trust your guidance. If it doesn't seem real, don't accept it. Real mediums will not give you a frightening story. They won't tell you something bad. They know the power of your thoughts. So they know that if they say something bad to you, that it could actually happen. You know, even if it wasn't going to be in your path, that you can think that it's going to happen and it will. So you don't want to go to someone who is negative.
Right. No, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
Some people might get scared. Mm-hmm. And also people that are disappointed when they go and they don't get really what they want.
Okay. That's another thing. True psychic mediums, first of all, you can conjure someone up. You can't make somebody come into the room or pop into the room. If they're there, they're able to interpret who is there. Usually you could give names. You know, I give names, details, things that only the other person knows. Okay, that's most important. So if they say, okay, your grandfather's here and loves you very much, you know, you want to hear a little bit more than that.
Right,
you know,
that's very generic.
Yes. Usually they give names. Sometimes psychics give initials. Usually when they come through with me, they usually say the full name, things like that. Or they bring things up in your life that only you would know. So, but again, you know, there have been times when somebody comes to my office and nobody comes through. And I'm completely honest, I'll say, well, there's no one here. I can't make someone come into the room. But if they're there, I'm able to interpret what they say. So you need an honest person.
Right. Someone who's not just going to make up some kind of story or just try to gather from what they tell them. You know, like how someone, they call it cold reading, I guess, where they'll just try to gather whatever information they can from the person.
Yes, yes. No, you want something. And you know what? The medium actually has an easier job than we do with our own loved ones, because when somebody comes into the room, I know it's not my frame of reference. So when the people are coming through and they come as, I hope you could follow this, when they come as thoughts, telepathic messages, I know the Aunt Jemima, I know Boxing Kangaroo are not my frame of reference. These are past readings that I have done. So when I say that and it means something to the person, you know, without a doubt, it's not me. It's not my thoughts. It's the loved one who is coming through.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
And we just have a short time right now to talk. We've got about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted you to just be able to tell people, what do you hope that people get from reading the book?
Oh. My most important message is that you could create peace right here, right now. You don't have to wait till it's late, too late, after you crossed over. Do it now. See through the eyes of another person. Try to see the bigger picture. Try to create peace in your life. Treat yourself with respect, because you're just as important as everyone else, and your whole life will change.
That's such great advice, and the book is so valuable. And I want to get your websites out there. Now, people can reach you through theeyesofanother.com, which is the name of the book?
Yes, that's correct.
And also, if they were interested in maybe classes or your workshops, would they go to that site?
You can. And on the right-hand side, it's another website that you could click onto. It's luchalucina.com. But the easiest is just to say throughtheeyesofanother.com.
Perfect. And Karen, I want to thank you for the message you gave me at the break. I'm going to keep it to myself because it was very amazing.
Okay,
and,
good.
And you're amazing for joining me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Angel blessings.